Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Tech Loft podcast. I'm your host Sal, and it has been a while since the last podcast that I've put together. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to for me at least to do to put together a little episode here when the children are home and they need the computers. So that's where I've been, and also when it's out of sight, it's out of mind. I kind of just lost the impulse to do this. But I've mentioned it before that I really like putting together content, and let's get on with the show. So before I begin, I'd first like to just remind everyone that you can contact the show through Twitter at the Tech Loft, and any questions or comments you can send them over through Twitter. I think it's just the easiest way to get messages for me right at this point. And as well, if you're finding this podcast somewhere out there in the on the interweb, we do have several homes. I mean, the main ones: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and we're also on Spotify. And I mean, as these other platforms grow bigger and bigger, we are available on them. I think at the moment you can find us on 9 major platforms at the moment, but the number one platform is Anchor. Anchor is our home. It's where the recordings are stored. You can even record through Anchor. And it's a very, very useful tool. It even does the automatic syndication. So if it's a major platform listed on Anchor, the podcast will be pushed out through Anchor to all the major platforms. Anyways, let's get on with the show. I found a couple, more than a couple, actually, headlines that I'd like to share with everyone. The first one is Google Stadia news. Now, it's not news on the platform itself. I should catch up and see where Stadia is at the moment. Looks like Google is still has this platform, even though for me personally, I have no interest in Stadia. And yeah, I know that's my personal opinion, and someone who's on it may have a different opinion, but man, Stadia, yeah. Anyways, so they're getting some games, and I have a small article that I found here. So if you've heard of Overcooked, which I actually have on the PS4, it's a nice little cute game where you can either play alone or with friends, like a group of four. And when Overcooked is, you're in a kitchen, and when an order comes through, you just have to put that order together and get it out in time and correctly. So you've got Overcooked, Golf with Your Friends, I have not played, and City Skylines, which is a game that I think I have and I need to play, because I think it's it's obviously a sim game, building your city and stuff like that. So that is one game I really need to get on and try. I think I have it on computer, but let's get on with this article. So more than 100 games are expected to hit Stadia this year, and news just emerged that 3 more will arrive soon. This spring, Skylines will land on Stadia. It's a city simulator in which you can build a bustling metropolis. Its publisher, Paradox Interactive's best-selling game, and while it's a few years old at this point, developer Tantalus Media is keeping things going by adding expansions. Most recently, it released an airports expansion in January. Meanwhile, 2 games from Team 17 are coming to Stadia in April. The first one, like I mentioned, is Golf with Your Friends. Up to 12 people can play mini golf together across a bunch of wacky courses. So it's a mini golf game. Also coming to Stadia next month is Overcooked All You Can Eat. It's a remastered bundle of both Overcooked games with all DLCs and extra levels included. I think this is a fun series. The one I have for the PS4 has Overcooked 1 and 2, and even the kids enjoyed playing it as well. But not recently. I think they're onto other games. But yeah, it's a co-op. The article says it best here. Stadia players getting the chance to dive into the co-op kitchen mayhem. And it is fast-paced, and it is fun. These are the first games from both Paradox Interactive and Team 17 to hit Stadia. Stadia last week announced some other games that are coming to the platform soon. Deliver Us the Moon, City Legends, The Curse of the Crimson Shadow, and Calico and Lake. Again, I won't be playing these games on Stadia because I am not a subscriber. But yeah, we'll see how they perform. And good luck to Google Stadia and the developers on there. The next article is a Nintendo title. The best F-Zero game comes to the Switch this week. Now, the only F-Zero version I've personally played is the Super Nintendo version, and yeah, it's a game that I loved as well. I had it for the Super NES. Fast, great soundtrack. But this article claims that F-Zero from the Nintendo 64 is the best version of F-Zero. So, let's move here. So back in 1998, arguably the best F-Zero game graced the Nintendo 64. It was the best because the focus was on how it played, with a smooth 60 frames per second and 30 racers on the track. It was an intense and brilliant game. Now it's coming to the Switch this week with online play to boot. While F-Zero X may look a tad dated, even compared to other Nintendo 64 games, what it achieved in gameplay terms was nothing short of technicality miraculous. Okay. It also played great and laid the groundwork for those similarly intense, though a lot shinier, F-Zero GX. There's also a tweet from March 8th, 2022, where Nintendo of America tweeted out, "Race at speeds over 1,000 kilometers per hour when F-Zero X comes to Nintendo Switch for Nintendo Switch Online. Expansion pack members on March 11th. That's also including the expansion pack. So that's coming to the Switch. Released as part of the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack, F-Zero X is adding further value to a service that was initially written off, partly because of the price tag and also due to lack of initial game offerings. F-Zero X definitely changes that, especially as the game has been updated to support online play with up to 3 friends. So if you missed out on F-Zero X back when it graced the Nintendo 64, then you have no excuse to check it out. When it hits the Switch on March 11th. So by the time this podcast comes out, it is already available online for the Nintendo Switch. So yeah, hopefully I will get to try it. I did miss out on F-Zero X. Actually, I've missed out on the whole Nintendo 64 console. That was one console that I skipped. Because soon after that, I went on to the PlayStation, and I had fun with that. So there you go. F-Zero X coming to the Switch online. So here's a update, an article for those of you that like Square Enix soundtracks. So Square Enix quietly launched an official music YouTube channel. Now, I have not heard it yet, I didn't hear about it. There are already some lovely mixes available and an introductory video explaining that the channel will be home to more than just great music. There will be interviews, behind the scenes videos, live performance videos, and special mixes. In terms of the special mixes, we already have two, an electronic dance music mix of a mellower and a mellower mix, with the latter definitely being more of a better thing. Naturally, Square Enix plans to expand the channel in the future with more things to listen to and watch, which is entirely that's just great. Now, this is a really neat feature that more gaming publishers should do, because sometimes you do have some great soundtracks in video games, and you know, having them available to listen to, like on YouTube, is pretty neat. Music is a huge part of gaming, and a lot of the times it is sidelined. In closing off this article, considering Square Enix's rich and storied musical library, this type of YouTube channel is very much welcomed, and it is true. I know there's a lot of like not official channels, but there's a lot of channels out there that have like entire soundtracks of games that you can put on and listen to. Sometimes I do the same because there's just some great tracks. I mean, one I'm thinking of off the top of my head is Castlevania. That has some great music on it. Very much looking forward to this YouTube channel. Moving on to, now this one's kind of a pop culture thing. So Amazon is going to be, I guess they're going to be creating a series, a God of War series. And I found a neat article that says, that's titled, Five Actors Who Could Play Kratos in Amazon's God of War Series. Now, I have someone in mind that could play this character. They even look alike, but let's see what this article goes on to say. So yesterday, Deadline reported that producers from two of Amazon's best series, The Expansion and The Wheel of Time, are nearing a deal with Sony to adapt God of War as a new series for Prime. If so, there are two major questions about such a production. The first one, are we starting with the original God of War Kratos at the true beginning of a story, or more recent beloved reboot? I hope they start at the beginning. That would be most logical if you want to get new viewers involved, if you ask me. And the second, who can possibly play live-action Kratos effectively? Casting Kratos has to be one of the toughest video game adaptation steps in history, given how iconic the character is and how unique his performance and appearance has to be. But here's a short list of names that's been put together here. So the first one is Jason Momoa. He looks like a really big guy. You may not get a full picture of how this could work from his Aquaman work, but I highly suggest you check out Momoa in his Apple TV Plus series, C, where I'd argue he gives off a certain amount of Kratos vibes. The real question is if they could finally get him to shave his head after sporting his iconic long locks for so many years. But I'd argue that he'd be the best choice for the list. Okay, number two would be Dave Bautista. He's got the physique, very true, and his recent roles have proven he's got range. While there are many wrestlers turned actors out there, I think Bautista has a leg up over, say, The Rock, as he has the ability to dissolve into his roles more, while The Rock doesn't feel like he'd fit in as well into the role of Kratos. Though I know he's probably going to come up in lists like this, I'd say Bautista is a better pick. Third one, Gerald Butler. The original angry Spartan, if now the 52-year-old Butler could get into serious shape, I think he could definitely embody the Kratos persona for a role like this. Butler has made a solid career in the X Has Fallen ongoing action series, but I'd love to see him booked for a TV show like this. But given that we're 16 years post 300, maybe it's time for him to take on a role like this has passed. I'm sorry, maybe the time for him to take on a role like this has passed. I mean, I can see him fit in as well, but unfortunately, yes, there is the age. But you know what? I think I'm sure I haven't seen anything recent from him, but I'm sure he can very easily get the physique. Probably have to work a little harder for it, but you know what? I don't have an issue with that. Another one here, Tom Hardy. This one has been... this one that I've been surprised to see come up pretty often, but there seems to be a fair amount of fans who would be curious to see Tom Hardy take on the role between his physique and beard growing abilities. Oh, and sure, his acting. I just don't know if he could do the voice effectively. And as a side note, no, I don't think this is the case where the voice actor could fill the part, given that Christopher Judge is 57 and just does not resemble Kratos as much as the great performance as he gives in the games. I guess number five for this article is Travis Fimmel. The former stars of Vikings and the current star of Raised by Wolves, Fimmel may not be as much of a name compared to others on the list, but I could absolutely see him in the role given this past week. He's really impressed me in Raised by Wolves in particular, though he does seem destined to be killed off that show any day now, and may soon have some time on his hands. So those are the five picks from this article. I'd like to give one more person, and he is a wrestler. You may have heard of him, and it is Tommaso Ciampa. This guy, he's got the beard. He's bald. His hair shaved off. He's a big guy, and I've seen this guy, and he to me looks like the perfect fit for Kratos. I would suggest looking up pictures of Tommaso Ciampa, I think he's like Blackheart on Twitter or something like that. But I think he would be a really good fit for playing Kratos in the God of War series. And finally, I'm on to my very last episode, which it looks like Sony and Nintendo have halted business in Russia. The firms are the latest global brands to join a growing exodus from Russia following the invasion of Ukraine. I'm going to leave my personal thoughts out of this game, but Japanese gaming giants Sony and Nintendo have halted shipments to Russia, joining a growing list of global brands that are exiting the country following Moscow's invasion of Ukraine. Sony Interactive Entertainment, the manufacturer of the PS5, said on Thursday it has suspended the launch of the racing game Gran Turismo 7 and operations of the PlayStation Store in Russia. Sony Group also said it donated $2 million to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and Save the Children to support the victims of this tragedy. Nintendo said it is suspending all exports to Russia for the unforeseeable future, citing volatility surrounding the logistics of shipping and distributing physical goods. The Kyoto-based firm, the maker of the popular Switch console, also said it has delayed the release of turn-based strategy game Advanced Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp, which was due to launch on April 8th. Nintendo last week said it put its eShop under maintenance in Russia after its payment provider suspended transactions in Russian rubles. Also on Thursday, Hitachi, one of Japan's biggest electronics and construction equipment makers, said it would suspend operations in Russia, citing multiple factors, including the supply chain issue. Hitachi made the announcement days after Ukrainian Vice President Minister Mikhailo Fedorov urged the company to cut ties with Russia on social media, although it did not link the decision to Ukraine pressure. The move comes amid an unprecedented industry-spanning exodus of mostly Western brands from Russia, including Shell, Apple, Disney, IKEA, and Starbucks and McDonald's, which some people may not see that as a bad thing. Japanese car makers and airlines have also halted exports to Russia and suspended flights to Europe, respectively, citing logistical issues and safety concerns. Japan, one of the United States' closest allies, has adopted a tougher line against Russian President Vladimir Putin's military operation against Ukraine than other countries in the region, where most governments have declined to assign blame for the conflict. Tokyo said on Tuesday it would freeze the assets of dozens of Russian and Belarusian officials and oligarchs after earlier announcing sanctions targeting Russia's central bank and the country's access to the SWIFT international payment system. Apart from Japan, South Korea, Singapore, and Taiwan have announced sanctions against Moscow, I guess while Taiwan is independent, I guess. While Indonesia said it condemns, quote, any action that clearly constitutes a violation of the territory and sovereignty of a country, end quote. So yeah, it looks like even the video game industry has taken a stand and blocked its access and hardware to Russia. And that, folks, is the end of this episode of the Tech Loft podcast. Looks like there was quite a bit to go through. Hopefully, you found something interesting in my report. Until next time, you can find me at thetechloft.com, on Twitter at thetechloft. Please, if you like this episode, there are a few more episodes. I know their news episodes are a little bit out of date, but you know, maybe you'll find something entertaining on my previous episodes. And that's it for now. Thank you for listening, and catch you on the next episode. Ciao for now.